Regarding one thing that we could do every day to change our marriage, and that would be for us to pray every night together. Just spend 5 minutes every night before we go to bed in prayer together.
You know, I can almost guarantee any couple who's listening, if you pray together every day as a couple and do it intentionally, and you're active in your church and Bible study and making Christ the center of your home, that your divorce rate probably has dropped, potential for divorce has probably dropped by 50%. I think, in fact, there's even some evidence to that fact. Today, what one thing for your marriage as we encourage couples from Intentional Living.
From the studios of the Intentional Living Center in Tucson, Arizona, welcome to Intentional Living. Your host is Dr. Randy Carlson. Our lines are open at 1-888-888-1717. Again, that's 1-888-888-1717. Now, to help you be intentional for your marriage, here's Randy.
All right. Thank you, Kurt. And I do welcome you to Intentional Living Center today here in this month of March. Wow, I can't believe we're already heading well into this third month of the year. Wow. Hey, let me just say this up front. For all of the members, those of you who support the ministry every month, you are the faithful ones that keep us going. God bless you and thank you for doing that. Watch in the mail coming your way this month, a teaching from me to you that I'm very excited about. It's called Making a Mid-Course Correction. I kind of build off of, remember Apollo 13? You know, if you ever saw that movie, they had to make a mid-course correction on the way back so they didn't bounce off the surface of the Earth or the atmosphere of the Earth when they came back. And I think sometimes in our lives, we got to make a mid-course correction. I give you a very intentional, practical message on making a mid-course correction in your life. That's this month. Watch for it, members. And if you're not a member, hey, you can always join us. It'd be a great day to do it, by the way. Same number we use to be on the air, 888-888-1717. Only press, instead of number one, press number four, and it takes you to our ministry staff. All right, we got folks standing by, Ron and Sarah, and I think Jim and Sam are standing by. Want to talk to me about being intentional for one thing for their marriage. We'll get to that in just a minute.
I'm living an intentional life every day through building my husband up. Either one of us came from households where our parents talked nice to each other. They spent a lot of time arguing. So we go out of our way to really let each other know how much we mean to each other.
My husband and I met at church, and we made an intentional decision to stay pure as well. And I can tell you that from personal experience that I have felt that has been the one thing that has made our marriage so strong, because I feel that God just so blessed that decision and he has made our marriage stronger. I think that he's protected our marriage, and I think that's the way he has blessed us.
How I am intentional is I prayed so hard to get a wonderful husband in my life, and God blessed me so much by giving me my husband. So every day I intentionally let him know how much I love him, how much I respect him, and how thankful I am to God that we are together.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, and we go to Ron, who's on the line in Arizona as we talk about marriage. Ron, what's one thing that you could do to become the change you want to see in your marriage?
Well, Dr. Randy, I've been following you for 6 years on the radio as I can catch you when I'm working.
Good.
And I've tried, and I've worked on my marriage for a long time now. I've tried asking my wife, like you suggested, what one thing could I change, knowing that I've got many things to change. So I try to pick one thing at a time to change. I ask her what shows her that I love you. What do I say or what I do that shows you I love you? And I'm kind of at a loss here now where our intimate relationship has always been lacking in so much depth that we've sat down, I've talked to her, I've explained to her what I need and what I'm looking for, and I cannot get this through to her. It lasts for about a month or so that she tries, and then it just goes right back to the same thing that we're having, and I don't know how to fix this. I don't know what I can do to get her to desire me, to want me.
You know, when you think of that question, Ron, what could I do to make her desire me more? There's a lot of men and women who are probably thinking the same thought today. Where's the button to push, the switch, the word, whatever? But we're talking about the most intimate of relationships. We're talking about the core of that intimacy in a relationship that's built around love and attraction and affection. And It's built about being physically and mentally and emotionally healthy, having good experiences from the past that allow us to be healthy in a relationship. And over the years, as I've observed marriages, when they run into the area of sexual problems, many times it can, you know, it can be a simple thing of, you know, there's a physical problem or too stressed, or the kids are in the exhaustion, you know, just the things that happen to keep us from having time and being in that kind of a, you know, mood, as it were. But sometimes it goes more deep. Maybe it's a personal issue going on in a person's life, or things that have not been healed from the past, or hurts that have occurred from their childhood. I think for you, Ron, is to move forward in your intentional living is to take care of yourself in terms of your own emotional well-being, your spiritual well-being, having reasonable expectations for your wife. I would encourage the two of you, or certainly herself, maybe to get into counseling. This is an important matter. It's a biblical matter we read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I think it's worthy of counseling for the two of you to just get into counseling, or she get into counseling by herself, to unpack what are some of the roadblocks that are keeping her from desiring you, or desire, is it desire in general, and a medical check as well. I think those are some of the intentional steps you can take, if she can take, or you can encourage her to take in her own life.
Okay.
Will she do that? Will she do it?
She's been to counseling. In fact, you know, when I started listening to you 6 years ago, when I had so many issues that I had asked for a divorce, and I've been working so long on this that we've gotten over the other hurdles, and I just can't seem to. And it's been 23 years of this, married with her like this, and I can't.
Well, there, I'll tell you right now that you have caught the interest of a lot of listeners who have never breathed that about their own marriage. But I'm telling you right now, this is a pervasive problem that I've heard in marriages and talking to people over the years. It's not a simple fix. It's not a button. It's not a word. It's not even, quote, being intentional. It's in terms of being intentional, it's intentional getting to the root issues, the root causes, the root problems, the root roadblocks to whatever's going on, and dealing with those, because without that, it becomes increasingly difficult. We'll be praying for you, Ron. Appreciate your call today. Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, and we go to Sarah on the line in Arizona. Sarah, welcome to the program. What's your question today?
The question I have is, I love your program about living intentionally, and I would love to apply intentional actions to marriage specifically. The barrier that I have is not knowing how to, sorry, it's kind of emotional for me.
It's okay.
There's been affairs and things that have occurred in our marriage, and ups and downs, probably more downs than ups. After the last incident, which we had been going to counseling in the midst of it when it was found out again, I just stopped everything.
Yeah.
And basically am married, but just dead in the marriage.
Well, what is your husband? Is your husband had the affairs?
The most recent ones, yes.
And how about you?
I have had an affair in the past, yes. This goes back to, we've been together about 10 years, so it seemed like it flip-flopped back and forth, and when I had thought we were making some traction, we were in marriage counseling through our church. It wasn't easy by any means. It wasn't like every session was roses, but to me it was giving a light to progress, you know, whether
sure.
it was going to happen in a year or 3 years.
Well, do both of you want this marriage to work? I mean, have you both acknowledged we want this marriage to work?
Yes. Well, not since I've kind of given up. No, not on my part. But
okay, but your husband wants to make it work.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, Sarah,
and that's
listen.
That's where I struggle, because I'm hearing that, but then actions don't match up.
Absolutely. And that's the whole thing. You know, you can have words, and words are cheap. And we tell parents, for instance, words are cheap even in parenting. It's the follow-through. It's the loving, you know, discipline, holding kids accountable, and the things that kids respect, not just words. And we use words sometimes, and they don't matter all that much. Sarah, listen, I've been working with families a long time, and I have yet to find it work where two people in a marriage has a third person and there's an affair going on that it works. Well, it violates God's intention. One man, one woman for a lifetime. That's what we believe the Scripture teaches. And in terms of having an affair, when we get a third person into that relationship, it doesn't work. Now, obviously, we believe in forgiveness. We believe in restoration. We know that doesn't always happen. Sometimes because an affair, there's such a breach in the relationship, it doesn't seem to ever heal. And people, for whatever number of reasons, that just doesn't get fixed. It just doesn't get healed. It doesn't get forgiven. It doesn't, we don't move on. There's not a growth. There's a stuckness that occurs. And when that happens, it's a very sad picture, but it happens many times, unfortunately. So your question today is, you know, how do you become the person that you want your marriage to be? I think it's really the two of you in this case, your husband and you, being willing to come to the table before God and say on your knees, as it were, hey, Lord, we've blown it. We have failed you and each other. We choose today to move forward in obedience to you, living intentionally for you, putting aside those things which distract and destroy us, and to show affection and love only to each other, and then to get to the root of whatever the causes are, whatever the emotional, relational, just what they are, changing habits, changing goals, being intentional and making the marriage work. And unless those things can happen, and do happen, Sarah, you're going to continue to remain stuck, which is not God's intention. Tell you what, if you hold on, I'd like to send you my book, Starved for Affection.
Okay.
There's some, you know, really practical chapters in there in terms of the kind of thing you're talking about when it becomes an issue. So hang on, I'm going to have Steve get your address, and we're going to send you Starved for Affection. I wrote down four things on this thing of how do you know when you're 1 degree off course. Number one, sometimes we don't discover the problem until it's too late. Isn't that sad? You know people who don't discover it until it's too late? In other words, we wake up one day and the marriage is over. We wake up one day and the health is shot. We wake up one day and the financial decisions we made have all backed up on us. We wake up one day and we realize we're so far from God's calling in our life and direction in our life, and we've spent most of the life that we have, and you think, hey, it's too late. Sometimes it is too late for some people, and you see them at their deathbed realizing, how did I get here? That is an excerpt. That's a clip from this month's teaching that I referenced earlier at the beginning of the program on mid-course correction, and I talked about that 1 degree off course. And here's what the actual mathematical reality is. For every 1 degree you're off, every mile you get from where you started, you're 92 feet off course. Now, 92 feet at a mile is not too bad. You can kind of get back on course. But some of you have gone out not 1 mile, but you're like the distance from the Earth to the Moon, where it's over 4,500 miles off course. And so we talk about in this this session, how do you make a mid-course correction? What steps do you take intentionally to get back on course in your life, in your marriage, with your health, with your finances? And so, members, I'd love your feedback as you read it, listen to it, rather, on CD when it comes. Tell us what mid-course corrections you've taken in your life. Let's keep the conversation going. If you want to join us as a member, come and do so. We'd love to have you be a part of this family as I get a chance to just share my heart with you and my staff on a CD every month, just especially for members and my staff. All you have to do is call 888-888-1717, press number 4. During business hours, it'll take you right into our center, our staff, or anytime, just go online. You can sign up, hit the donate button at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, okay? And we'd love to hear from you as you listen to these tapes and these CDs, rather, give us your feedback. More calls in just a minute.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible entirely by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio. Coming up, Dr. Randy's got more great help for your marriage. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
Hello?
Jen, I'm glad I got you. What am I going to do?
Well, first you got to settle down. What's up?
It's Brad. He's been, well, nice. I mean, he's nice anyway, but lately he's like really...
Nice?
Yeah. I thought buying that Star for Affection book, he might read it, but whew.
Nice, isn't it?
Yeah. Thanks for having Tom suggest it.
Develop a more intimate relationship with your spouse by building your marriage the biblical way. Order Star for Affection by Dr. Randy Carlson at theintentionallife.com.
Good morning. Good morning.
Man, you are glued to your phone. What is so interesting?
Oh, sorry. I just got a little wrapped up in this devotion from Intentional Living.
Seventh floor.
On your phone?
Yeah. I've signed up at the website, and they send it to me every weekday. I usually read it in the elevator on the way up to the office.
Tenth floor.
That would explain why you missed your stop on the eighth floor at least twice a week.
Going down.
Get devotions, hear shows, and share your intentional story at theintentionallife.com.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Wanted, people who are willing to pray, encourage, answer questions, and live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Does that sound like somebody you'd want to hang with? Then join our Facebook family at theintentionallife.com/Facebook. Again, that's theintentionallife.com/Facebook. Randy.
Thanks, Kurt. Welcome back to the Intentional Living Center. Today, focusing on marriage. We've got some callers standing by. I think Sam and Jim are on the line. We'll get to them in just a minute. Before we do, however, we have a very special opportunity for you, something I want to give to people all around the planet. We've had over, what, now 46,300 people who've taken advantage of this. It's called the Intentional One Thing Challenge. And what it is, it's for you to take on a challenge for 30 days, to set a goal, to focus on one new habit, to declutter your life of one thing, and to celebrate it. And it's a little video class, each class about 8 minutes long, and everything's available to you free of charge. It's just our mission and ministry for you. So click on the top of the webpage there at our homepage, the Intentional One Thing Challenge at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com for the Intentional One Thing Challenge.
The part of my nagging that was so bad was that it escalated always into a knockdown, drag-out fight. My secret was that Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit have a still, small voice, and it couldn't be heard because I was always talking, always nagging. And once I calmed that down and quieted myself, the Holy Spirit would convict him immediately, and I could see the change. And often it was literally within minutes. But as long as my jaws were going, nothing was changing.
Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center. Let's go to Sam on the line in Arizona. Sam, welcome to the program today.
Hi, Randy.
Appreciate your call. What is it that is your question or comment today?
My wife and I have just been separated recently, not even a week.
Mm.
I've questioned her over the past year if she's been faithful to me. In the process, she's told me she has, and... but it's kind of drove her away from me.
Because you don't believe her.
Because I haven't believed her. I believe her now because I've let go of everything that was on my heart and let her know what was on my heart. And in the process, I've hurt her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just praying for healing in our marriage.
Yeah.
And that our relationship will be mended back together.
Is she going to allow that to happen with counseling, the two of you?
Yeah, we went to counseling a few times.
What does that mean?
And, she didn't
a few times and then stopped.
Well, we had four sessions with the counselor, and yesterday was one of the sessions, and the counselor said, "Well, maybe we should continue on from here doing individual counseling."
Okay.
So she hasn't really agreed or disagreed to do that. She still wants to think about it and see how she feels.
So she's not committed to progressing with the marriage at this point.
That's correct. She's not sure if this is really what she wants out of life.
Well, Sam, this is the first of all. I'm sorry. I mean, this is terrible. And I've talked to a lot of men. I think men really, really wrestle with this. And there's a lot of abandonment, and there's a sense of loneliness and loss. And we want to fix things as men. We want to make things better. And we can get too controlling, or we can get groveling. We can go to either extreme. We want to control, or we want to just do whatever it takes to fix it. That tends to be our male model of fixing problems when they're in a crisis. And I think this is an opportunity for you, Sam, to really get before God. And I mean, in prayer, get guys around you that you trust, Really pray about what's going on in your life, what causes you to have the kind of distrust you had, or what's going on in your own life that causes some of the issues that have contributed to this. In other words, take care of yourself, heal yourself, work on yourself, get into counseling for yourself. So frankly, you become the kind of man that she would be crazy not to want to be married to. And I think that's there's a very intentional goal for you, is to work on yourself to become irresistible. For not just to get her back, but for yourself.
Right.
To be that kind of guy that would be honoring God so much in your life that, hey, people say, hey, you know, I want to be like Sam.
Right.
That makes sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can I pray with you?
Yes, sir.
All right. Father, I do pray for Sam. This gentleman's 1 week into a separation. You know the outcome. We don't. We hear the desire of his heart for a reconciliation. We don't know if that's going to occur. But what we do know is that you are more than willing to move in Sam's heart and to strengthen him, to help him be restored in his confidence and courage and walk with you. And I pray that that'll happen, that you'll be close to him, minister to him and to his wife, that ultimately the two of them can be restored with a testimony of your grace and your mercy and your love and forgiveness in Christ's name. Thank you for calling today, Sam. We'll be praying for you, my friend.
Thank you, Randy.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, Randy Carlson here at the Intentional Living Center, and we go next to Jim, who is on the line in Florida today with a question. Hi there, Jim. Welcome to the program.
Hi, sir. I just had a question for you. My wife and I were married for 34 and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
We divorced in June of this year. Mm-hmm. It was final. And we are right now working on reconciliation.
Hmm.
And right now everything is going along real good. We're getting along good. But there's still something in me that says that we shouldn't go beyond this point until we seek out counseling.
Oh, yeah. I would agree.
Ruined the marriage in the first place.
Absolutely. Now, in 34 years of marriage, Jim, was there a pattern of being up and down? Was there a pattern maybe where had you been separated before or had problems and then get back together, that kind of thing?
Yes, sir. Just for a couple of days, though. I think about twice.
All right. So you've had a couple times where you had to part, and then all of a sudden it's kind of like you're back together. But did you ever get to the bottom of what caused you to be apart for a couple of days?
No, sir. Okay. That's our problem.
Yeah. And now it's just the big apart. It's the ultimate, the divorce. Did you initiate it or did she?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, she did not want it, but she did. She signed the papers anyway because she knew I did.
And why did you want the divorce?
Well, there was no trust, no communication, no intimacy. And I'm not talking about just sex, but intimacy itself was gone.
Uh-huh.
It just felt my heart had dried up.
All right, so you were
felt like there was nothing. We tried to talk about something, and she said, "Well, if you're going to do that, we might as well get a divorce."
All right, so
and she had said that before, mm-hmm. because and it's not her; it's just our communication was that.
Sure.
Wasn't that good.
All right, so there's not another person, there's not abuse, there's not alcohol,
no.
there's not drugs,
no.
there's just, you guys, as our culture would say, you fell out of love.
Right,
yeah.
right.
All right, you grew apart. You went different. Okay, well, Jim, first
right.
of all, the fact that you initiated the divorce, now you're saying you want to, you know, you're interested in reconciling, you know, I think you use this as an opportunity. I've talked to hundreds of couples over my career who have been divorced and remarried, but I'll tell you, the ones that don't work are the ones that just jump back into the marriage just because they're lonely or they think they should do that.
Right, I don't want that.
Yeah, you have an opportunity for the two of you to say, hey, 34 years, hasn't been the best, we've had problems, this is the ultimate blowout of the tire, as it were. You know, it's kind of like in the past you had slow leaks, and you'd pump air back into it. Now you got a blowout
mm-hmm.
and time to get the tire fixed before you move down the road. So I would really encourage you to take the lead in saying to your ex-wife, look, if we're going to have a reconciliation, we're going to have to do it right, and we're going to have to get with a counselor that has experience in dealing with couples and reconciliation, a Christian, preferably, in my opinion. That someone that can lead you, you know, with your Christian values to say, how do we make this marriage work? And start a very, very slow process. Keep all other people out. Don't get involved with anybody else. Don't gossip. Don't go out and tell all your friends about your ex-wife's problems and hers about you, because I'll tell you, experience that creates a problem later on. Keep it between you guys and a counselor and get some help. Get a pattern and a path and some kind of standard policies that you're going to follow during the time you're in counseling, and take it one day at a time and ask God to reveal His will for you guys as you move forward, and trust Him.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Is that something that sounds reasonable to you?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was thinking along those lines, and I had mentioned it to her, and of course, she's all for it. She's ready.
Yeah.
I mean, she's more than willing to reconcile, and I am too, but I just think we need to take care of the problem that caused the separation in the first place.
Exactly. Keep this word picture. Guys, we get this word picture. You've had a blowout. You've been going down the road, and the tire has blown out, and you are now parked on the side of the road, and you got the jack up, and you're ready to change tire. This is a time, as you get that tire fixed, to really know what the problem is and fix it, fix it, fix it, fix it. Because some people, what they'll do is they'll just keep going along with a slow leak forever and keep pumping air into it. But when you got a blowout, it's kind of a word picture of an opportunity to make things better. We'll be praying for you, Jim, that you do. Appreciate your call.
I try to be intentional every day when I talk to my wife, like I'm still in pursuit of her. Not like I am, that I am. It's like we just first met, but I'm trying to entice her to be with me. And the Lord's laid it on me that if you're not going to say something that is like when you first met her, to entice her to be with you, then it really works out good.
What I'm intentionally doing over the last 6 months or so is making sure that my wife knows that I am here for her. I make sure that she knows that our marriage is very important, that she's very important to me, and my focus is on her.
One thing I could do for my wife would be just to listen, let her explain things out, not always have a comeback, and just be patient. Patient to hear what she has to say, and then slow to speak.
Hey, man, I tell you, you guys have the best stuff in terms of ideas, and I appreciate you sharing them with us. Feel free to do so anytime. Just call us at 888-1717 on our storyline. You hit the button there, and it'll take you and share what's on your heart. What are you learning? What's God teaching you? Today, we focused on marriage, and I think at the end of the day, you know, it's a decision we make as a couple. It's always difficult. Two people, different perspectives and maybe challenges and getting on the same page, but I encourage you to do that. You know, be intentional and just make it a priority. We've given you some things today that can matter and make a difference. Be intentional about the things that matter most and be very intentional to ignore the things that don't, okay? Upcoming programs, we're going to focus on retirement, the intentional man, and getting unstuck in your marriage. So we'll see you then from Intentional Living.